蓝天之下，让梦想起航；
绿洲之中，让心灵放松。欢迎来到
蓝天绿洲 Heaven Today。
你是不是喜欢邀请朋友来家里做客呢？尤其是现在正在看世界杯，叫上一两个你的足球迷朋友，在家一边看球赛一边吃花生，我想很多男生都喜欢这样吧。这里是良友电台的中英文双语节目蓝天绿洲 Haven Today， 我是乐欣。
Welcome to Haven Today. I'm Charles Morris, sharing the great story that's all about Jesus. And we're in a series that we began yesterday called Love Your Neighbor.We live in an ever-growing, digitally connected world, you know that. The case from the Supreme Court yesterday was quickly spreading on Twitter and Facebook before the news services could write their stories. And in this digitally connected world, where we might have many friends on social media, but more and more, we don't know the people next door. Do you know your neighbors?
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine?
I'm sure you recognize that song from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, the TV show. Did you know it debuted 50 years ago this year? Its creator, Fred Rogers, was concerned about the violence he saw in children's shows.And he wanted to produce a friendly program where kids would feel welcome. It's no surprise that Mr. Rogers was a Christian pastor who believed that hospitality was one of the greatest ways to share the gospel with our neighbors.
Won't you be my neighbor?
And that's exactly the message we're looking at this week. Yesterday, we met up with Dr. Rosaria Butterfield. She's in Durham, North Carolina.She was a literature professor, though, of feminist and queer studies at Syracuse University. She was in a lesbian relationship and was writing a book about the Christian right. So when a pastor and his wife invited her over for dinner, she thought it would be a good opportunity to do a little research. But little did she know that God would use their hospitality to change her life.
Well, yes, he invited me over to his home for dinner.To talk about these things more fully. And that one dinner led to two and three. And I was at their table at least once a week for 2 years.
You were a regular.
Ever. I was a regular. And I wasn't the only ragamuffin regular there. They would open this Bible and they would talk you through it and talk about it and kind of wrestle with it. And, you know, they weren't treating it like a museum piece. I was not a project.
They loved you.
Yeah, they did. And I lovedthem. And they were themselves. They didn't put on a show for me. You know, it was powerful. It was one of the first of many times that I felt that way, that I just couldn't put my finger on it. But this was the most disarming house and the most disarming people I knew. And they loved me and they loved me well. And even though I mocked them, I was reading the Bible. And during that time, I was reading it for the purpose of critiquing it. And I was the enemy.And they loved me, and they kept loving me. And then one day, the gospel just got to be bigger inside me than I.
Rosaria Butterfield. She'll be joining me again in just a moment to help us better understand how the Lord often uses our hospitality as a bridge from the home to the church. Stay with me, and I know you'll be encouraged to reach your neighborhood and your world that you live in for Jesus.
昨天节目中呢，我们听到了 Rosaria 信主的见证，她是怎么信主的呢？不是因为一个福音单张，也不是因为某场教会的活动，而是邻居敞开了家门，邀请她去玩，去吃饭，去学习圣经。慢慢的，她就被主的道吸引了，从曾经的女同性恋变成了重生得救的基督徒。今天我们还会继续听 Charles 对她的访问，也许啊你也曾被某个弟兄姐妹的热心好客而打动，心里就幻想着说，要是将来我住的地方有一个很大的客厅的话，也许呢，我也能够像他们一样的邀请朋友来家里做客，弄上几个拿手小菜， 最后呢，还可以一起学习圣经，一起唱诗歌敬拜神。在享受完了食物的宴席之后，再来一场属灵的盛宴。那么这里就出现一个问题了，究竟当我们想要热心款待，想要招待客旅的时候，什么才是必须的条件呢？真的是要有一个超过20平米的大客厅才能够招呼朋友来家里做客吗？一首诗歌之后，我们就来听听 Rosario 的回答。
Haven Today opens now with Chris Rice and Go Light Your World.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning and some dark and cold. And there is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle and makes his home. Carry your candle and run to the darkness. Seek out the helpless, confused and torn, and hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle and go light your world. Frustrated brother, see how he's tried to light his own candle some other way. See now your sister, she's been robbed and lied to, still holds a candle without a flame. So carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the hopeless, deceived and poor, and hold out your candle for all to see. Yeah, take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle and go light your world. Run to the darkness, seek out the confusion. Hold out your candle for all to see. Yeah, take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle.
If you wonder what you're listening to, you're listening to Haven Today, and I'm Charles Morris, and this is a program called Love Your Neighbor, and back with us from North Carolina, Dr. Rosaria Butterfield. I mentioned this earlier. She shared a bit of her testimony on yesterday's program and how the Lord used two very hospitable Christians to bring her out of an unbelieving life, even though she didn't see it that way when she first met them. Rosaria, the title of your book that's just out, The Gospel Comes with a House Key, tell me exactly what that means.
Right. Well, if you have your Bibles open, turn with me to Mark 10, and you'll find a little passage there that's very powerful. It starts at verse 28, it ends at verse 30. I know every word of God is powerful, but the powerful point that I want to make about why the gospel right. comes with a house key comes from this. This is when Peter turned to Jesus and said, "See, we have left everything and followed you." And Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a powerful promise. And that's a promise that says, first of all, that many people who come to Christ will lose their families. And not just people overseas, but people right here. People who come to Christ from the LGBTQ community will lose their family of choice. They will lose many brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers. But this says, this verse promises that if you come to Christ, you will receive all of those back to the number 100-fold.
Mm.
Now, what that means is that you, child of God, you standing in robes of righteousness someday, you, image bearer of a holy God, trying hard, at working with Jesus, desiring to grow in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness so that that image reflects perfectly, you are actually not alone. Mm. That what makes you belong to me and to others in your church community is the blood of Christ in you. It says that the most important thing that a believer gets is belonging. And to some degree, that verse also reminds you that this hundredfold, it's just not going to drop from the sky. This is not the Ephesians every spiritual blessing. Those are great. I want lots of spiritual blessings, but this is actually pretty material. This verse tells me where I'm going to live and where I'm going to have a dinner, a meal tonight, and where I go when I'm really frightened, or where I recover when I'm sick.
Mm.
It tells me that those verses in Acts, when the church is growing and is persecuted, and the family of God needs to know where to gather, they do it organically, they do it spontaneously, they do it regularly, and they do it inclusively. And it tells me, quite frankly, that if those things don't happen, and if the watching world doesn't see, hey, look, that's how Christians live, if not only do Christians not experience this, but outsiders don't see this, then that tells me that we have half of the gospel going on here. So what I believe is that if the gospel doesn't come with a house key, then you're not sharing the gospel. And I know people say, well, that really sounds extreme. Well, the cross is extreme. I mean, let me just tell you that there are a lot of extreme things. There are a lot of things that Jesus does that I think the word extreme would be a good word to use to describe that.
Sure.
So I don't think it's extreme. And it's interesting when you just do a search through scripture. There really are only two scriptural examples of loneliness and isolation. One is if you are a martyr, and the other is if you're a political prisoner. And yet we, ugly as this is, we in the church today have castigated how many people to insufferable loneliness? Mm-hmm. Because why? Well, because we haven't really understood that hospitality needs to be regular and open.
Yes.
That the purpose of hospitality is to meet a stranger and draw that stranger in, actually to seek the stranger, to pursue the stranger.
Right.
Draw that stranger in and make that stranger a neighbor. And then by God's grace, make that neighbor, walk with that neighbor to become part of the family of God. Mm. That's hospitality. It has very little to do with matching China. I mean, I'm not necessarily opposed to that. I just don't happen to have that. I mean, you won't get that here, Charles. You know,
it doesn't really tell me
that everybody sits on a chair. You know, sometimes you're going to, in my house, sit on your, you know, little keister on the floor. You know? You might get a chair, or you might have a piano bench or an exercise ball. But we need to get to the bottom line, which is the home is a bridge between our lost neighbors, strangers like we once were, and the church, the body of Christ. And to not use our home that way is to deny a great blessing both to your neighbors and to yourself. Now, immediately when I say this, I get questions. Well, does everybody have to do it? Well, no. And I talk about in the book, there were seasons when I couldn't do it. When I had my mother dying at home. You don't have 20 people over for dinner. When you have the flu, please don't invite people over for dinner. That's rude.
But you're missing a blessing if you don't offer hospitality as a Christ follower most of the time.
Absolutely. And if nobody in the church is offering a radical form of inclusive hospitality, that says something. That says something. That's one of those reality checks.
If you just joined us, this is Haven Today. I'm Charles Morris. We're talking with Rosaria Butterfield on the importance of hospitality living in a post-Christian world.
Rosaria, there are many books on how to evangelize, on how to share Christ. But the people that I've known in the postmodern world that seem to be the most blessed in leading others to faith in Jesus do it out of hospitality. I've seen it in the Middle East. I've seen it in Jewish neighborhoods in Philadelphia when we lived there.
Yeah,
I think you're on to something here, and yet you don't have a program for me. Do you?
Oh, no, 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 no,
yeah,
no.
Yeah.
Because you know why? Because the Holy Spirit is going to lead you in this, and it's going to be scrappy and messy, and you're going to do it your way. It's going to be different than mine. But in a post-Christian world, the home is the bridge between the world and the church. And it's a bridge that people aren't necessarily going to walk on. They're going to park on it for a while. And that's okay.
Yes.
Because your unsaved neighbors are not projects. They are people. Mm.
I know you didn't write a how-to book, but if someone is listening right now and they're saying, yes, I know this is what the Lord wants me to do, but they're feeling a bit scared to do this, how would you encourage them to start reaching out to their neighbors in the name of Jesus?
The first step is prayer. And the first step is praying that you would be both earthly and spiritual good to your neighbors, and that you would take stock of the things you're already doing, that the Lord would give you a real window into how you're coming across. And so especially on social media, but also, you know, what is your signage like? Do you feel like you have to advertise every opinion you have on your bumper sticker? I don't think that's helpful. I really don't. I really, really don't. So take stock of what you look like in a post-Christian world. It's a different world right now. It's not the world that of your imagination any longer. And then the second thing, start praying with your neighbors. If you have Christian neighbors, that's ideal. And quite frankly, it doesn't matter if they're Christian neighbors that you could not attend the same church with. You know, one of my greatest joys is that I am locking arm in arm with Christian neighbors. Now, we could not make a church, but by my goodness, if we couldn't put together a community, what good are we? Mm-hmm. And I really mean that. We're dear friends. We know where each other stands. We respect each other. We're not kidding. So get to know your Christian neighbors, but don't use necessarily your church's covenant of church membership to determine whether these are people that you could maybe pray with about your neighborhood. But the other thing I would say is to realize that invitations into your home often presume a kind of intimacy that Christians are comfortable with and other people aren't. So push the grill to the front yard. Start cookouts on Thursday night or whatever night seems to work for you. Work with your neighbors to plant trees or do whatever it is, you know, they like to do that's not sinful, that you can't do. And get to know people in your front yard, get to know your neighbors, and then gather people in. But, you know, again, we always pray before we eat. We always pray at the close of a gathering. You know, if it's outside, it's a little hard to pull out the Bibles necessarily and do a Bible study, but we'll often pass out the psalters and sing. But, you know, I guess what I'm saying is instead of trying to be like the world and instead of trying to preach the world to the church, just accept the fact that if you're going to love the stranger, you are going to be strange. And so don't be embarrassed about that. You know, we are a set apart people. and get to know your neighbors and let them know how we're set apart, why we're set apart, and what kind of things we do that make it clear we're set apart.
Rosaria Butterfield, sharing how the gospel comes with a house key here on Haven Today.
Brothers, let us come together, walking in the Spirit. There's much to be done. We will come reaching out from our comforts, and they will know us by our love. Sisters, we were made for kindness. We can pierce the darkness as He shines through us. We will come reaching with a song of healing, and they will know us by our love. The time is now. Come, church, arise. Love with His hands. See with His eyes. Bind it around you. Let it never leave you. And they will know us by our love. Children, you are hope for justice. Stand firm in the truth now. Set your hearts above. You will be reaching long after we're gone, and they will know you by your love. The time is now. Come, church, arise.
Time is now. Come, church, arise. They will know us by our love. Christy Knuckles from her Life Lift Up album here on Haven Today, and I'm Charles Morrison. Once again, thank you, Rosaria Butterfield, for joining me here on the program again today.
谢谢 Rosaria 的分享。听完之后，我不知道你的感受怎样，但是乐信我自己呢，我的眼前呢，就是浮现出来了从我还是慕道友以来一路上所经历到的不同的弟兄姐妹，他们是怎样把自己的家和生活敞开让我们去认识的那一幅幅的画面了。我就想到在我信主的道路上，我的启蒙老师就是我上大学时的那个美国外教。那个时候呢，每个星期天的下午我就会去他的教职工宿舍学习圣经。我一去到的时候呢，他就会问我，今天你想喝茶还是想喝咖啡呢？然后我们就是这样，从开始聊最近发生的事情，聊美国的文化，中国的文化，慢慢的呢，就进入到了圣经学习。后来他回国了，我就不能够再与他一起学习圣经了，然后我就加入到了中国人所开的一个家庭教会里，就进入到了我那个学校的团契里。当时我们聚会的地方呢，就是一个弟兄家，那时他还是研究生导师。印象当中，我们这些学生呢，在他家里弄过几场爱宴。后来呀， 就是离开了自己的家乡，去到了其他的地方工作，找到了当地教会，就发现啊，教会里的牧师他也会在每个周五的晚上把自己的家开放出来，邀请大家过来学习圣经，并且呢还鼓励我们带一些水果零食什么的，在圣经学完之后可以继续的聊天，继续的吃东西。我很赞同 Rosario 说的一点，就是他刚刚说到的，招待客旅必须是敞开的，也必须是持续性的。如果我只招待一次，那就不能够产生什么样的果效，除非我持续的坚持下去，长久以来呢才能够看到它的果效。很可能前面的那几次只是一个热身，让大家对彼此稍微熟悉一些，但是当这个关系慢慢建立起来了之后，我们的话题就可以聊得更加的深入，因为此时已经有了一定程度的安全感，话题聊得深入，我们对那个人就会越发的认识，也更加知道他里面的想法和他过去所经历的种种，也因为这样，我们为他的祷告就能够更加的明确，有方向感。那些我就审视在我自己来表达招待客旅这方面，我真的是对他的感知以及在应用呢是以一个很慢的速度在进行的。我想这或许呢是和我的成长背景有关，从小到大我都是由爸爸妈妈照顾长大的，我们家一家三口住在一个非常小的房间里，一年到头呢都不会有什么亲戚朋友来我家做客，来我家玩的，所以啊我的成长环境呢就是属于那种已经习惯了冷冷清清的生活。那今年过年的时候呢，那天我就去到了昆明，在那个地方我住了半个月之久，当时呢我也是住在一个基督徒的家中，不过那个时候呢也因为一些特殊的事情，正好就赶上了那一家姊妹她的亲戚爸爸妈妈还有她的姐姐去到她家做客的时候，所以呢啊，真的是一家上下老老少少小小加起来有十几口人，每天的那个热闹程度呀真的是让乐心一时半会儿还接受不了。不过这也就算了，更重要的就是那个姊妹她特别的好客，他们家又距离教会很近，所以呢几乎每一天，真的是每一天都有不同的弟兄姊妹来登门造访，过来给他们送一束花啦，过来聊个天半个小时啦，又或者是过来喝个咖啡吃块蛋糕什么的。要敞开自己的生活给别人看，要适当的调整自己的生活模式作息习惯，甚至呢做出一定程度的牺牲，这些都是款待客旅需要付上的代价。如果十字架不是我们的动力的话，那么我们很快就会懈怠，甚至呢会觉得别人冒犯了我们的隐私。这个就是今天蓝天绿洲想和你分享的全部节目内容了。你有没有招待客旅的经历呢？有哪一些是非常有趣的，或者是对你来说很有挑战性的，或者是你经历到上帝的大能的，都欢迎你透过短信13229966122来和我们分享的。乐心非常想听到属于你的故事，愿神祝福你，下期时间我们不见不散，拜拜。 There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning and some dark and cold, and there is a spirit who brings a fire.